Your Bibles with you tonight. Please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. We're just going to be looking at a couple or a few verses here together tonight and remembering and reminding ourselves of the glorious truths. Profound truths, yet simple truths, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verses 21 through 23 says, "And although you were formerly alienated and enemies in mind and in evil deeds, but now he has reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister." Tonight we're going to be looking at the gospel and the doctrine specifically of reconciliation. You know, if you've ever turned on the radio or talked to somebody, had a conversation this past week, you probably know about an important game that's happening today, even while we speak. And what's interesting about that game today is that it is between two rivals. I was watching just a snippet of it before the kickoff this afternoon, and they were reminding us of the rivalry between these two teams. It goes back decades. So many things feed into that rivalry. Nostalgia, the uniforms are just iconic uniforms, and the history that they've had against each other, these two teams, going back and forth, winning, losing against each other at the highest stakes possible. There's a history there. And so with that, there is this sense where fans of either team can treat each other like mortal enemies, though I'm sure that's not the case in the family of God. Still, there can be this animosity between the two teams or between the two franchises and the fans of those two teams. There's a hostility there. Some are so dedicated to their team that they won't even invite somebody that is a fan of that other team over to their house, especially to watch a game. It's been documented that loyalty to a sports team has strained marriages, divided old friendships, and alienated a family. And it would seem that nothing can really resolve and bring those two sides together. I mean, I've seen hats with two rival teams, and it's split down the middle. One side of the hat, the baseball cap, is one team. The other side of the baseball cap is the other team. And it's just sewn together. And it just makes some people's blood boil seeing that happen. It's blasphemous almost. Well, in a much more infinite sense, we know, of course, there is this alienation, this separation between God and man. And it's not based off of preferences like some sports team. It's based off of sin and rebellion. Notice in verse 21, says, although you were formerly alienated and enemies in mind and in evil deeds. The sinner, all of mankind even, is at odds with God. Humanity is at war with God. Indeed, they are alienated from Him. There's three descriptions of this separation, this animosity. The eternal gap between God and man is described in three ways. One, alienation. Alienation. That is, that mankind, as it were, is a stranger to God. And God is a stranger to humanity. It doesn't matter how religious someone is, or how pious they might be, or how often they go to church, or even if they were raised in church, it doesn't matter. On your own, the sinner is estranged from the Most High God. There is a separation of relationship. That's the idea of alienation. For a sinner to dwell in heaven, it would be like he is in a foreign or alien land. There would be nothing familiar about it to him. Nothing that makes that place home for him. He is alienated from God. Not only this, but secondly, in verse 21, enemies in mind, or hostile in mind, some translations have it. So even the thinking. So if alienation speaks of the relationship between God and man, this, being an enemy or hostile in mind, has to do with the hatred between God and man. Indeed, God is angry towards the sinner every day. Not only this, but the sinner is hostile towards God. Notice the wording, you were enemies. God did not do anything to be your enemy. It was all up to sinful mankind, you see. We have made ourselves enemies of God. It's one thing to have some human relationship. It's one thing for a child to be an enemy with another child in the playground. It's one thing to have an enemy and a fan of another team. It's one thing to have even an enemy of one nation to another. But all of these relationships of animosity and hostility pale in comparison to the relationship of hostility between God and man. Mankind hates the Lord. And the reason is because the Lord has rightful authority over humanity as their creator. And yet, man hates the idea of being ruled. That is the heart of the sinner. And that hatred towards God and the hatred towards the notion of being told what to do, the notion of being ruled by God, shows itself in the third aspect here in verse 21, in evil deeds. Evil deeds. This hostility shows itself. The animosity that the sinner has toward God shows itself in actions, what he does. That is, that he does what he wants and asks no one for permission. He sets his own rules, having rejected the law of God, and lives according to his own standard. He sets his own morality. And this is nothing new. This is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden, isn't it? When Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what they were saying is, we will decide what is good and evil, not you, God. I will decide. And so it is, that attitude has been passed on from generation to generation, even to this present day. Mankind is born demanding the right to call their own shots, to decide for themselves what is good and what is evil. So we see in relationship, in hostility, and even in actions and deeds, that is what fills that gap. That is the wedge between humanity, between the sinner and God. But verse 22 says, but now he, that is Christ, reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death. Reconciliation is the restoration of a broken relationship. It is the restoration of a broken relationship. That broken relationship is what we just looked at. Alienation, animosity, and evil deeds. In Christ, alienation, animosity, and evil deeds are all taken away in the relationship between God and a sinner. When Christ died on the cross, these three elements that separate us between God, that separates us from God, are taken away. They are removed. How do we know this? Well, he says here, he describes how this is possible very briefly. He says in verse 22, he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death. How does the death of Jesus Christ bring about reconciliation, you might ask? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 elaborates on this. It says, verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5:16, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. So, reconciliation here in verse 18 is how we have all these things. But still, the question isn't answered. What does that mean? It goes on, verse 19, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their transgressions against them. And he has committed to us a word of reconciliation. Now what we see here, he gives us one side of the coin of reconciliation, you could say. How peace was made between God and man. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. How? Well, first of all, by not counting their transgressions against them. Now think about it. If there is alienation between God and man, if there is hostility between God and man, if there is this heaping pile of sin and evil deeds between God and man that separate us, those transgressions have to be taken away. That sin and animosity has to be taken away. It has to be as if they're not there. And that's what this is when he says, not counting their transgression against them. This is how reconciliation is possible. Only if God is able to not count our sins against us can we have peace with him and a good relationship. But you might ask, how does that happen? I'm glad you asked. He answers that question in verse 21. He made him, that is, the Father made Christ, who knew no sin, that is, Christ who was perfect and the spotless Lamb. The Father made this spotless Lamb, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. So what is described here is that animosity and alienation and that heaping pile of sin and evil deeds that separate us from God. What the Father did is he took all of that and placed it on Christ on the cross. That's why Christ said, my God, why have you, what? Forsaken me. That's alienation. When God judged his Son, he was judging our sins upon him. That's hostility. Now, he did this on our behalf. Christ took the alienation and the hostility based on our evil deeds. He took that upon himself in our stead as our substitute. Why? So that, verse 21, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the idea here is God considered Christ to be the sinner and treated him as such because he was there as our substitute. So that now the Father can look at us and treat us as he would have his own son, with love and delight and favor. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is, he takes our sin, we take his righteousness through faith. And it is all possible because this is what was done, this is what was accomplished there on the cross. Back in Colossians 1, this is how he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death, verse 22. And notice the purpose. This lines up with what we just read in 2 Corinthians 5. In order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Dear Christian, this is how God sees you. And one day, you're going to live like this as well. when we're finally free from sin. When we're with our God in glory, and we are transformed fully and completely in that heavenly state, we will be presented before Him, before our dear groom, Jesus Christ. We will stand before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Though He already sees us that way anyway. We're going to get to enjoy that reality one day.
Amen.
And dear sister, this is what you celebrate tonight. This is what you claim. And if I can say a quick word to you and a reminder to the rest of our dear brothers and sisters tonight. Verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So though these are present realities, notice, this is something I didn't mention, but it's worth noting. Verse 21, it says, you were these things. You were Christian. You were formerly this way. This is your former state. This is your former relationship to God. Verse 22, but now, notice, these are present realities. You are reconciled today with God. Fully, finally, and completely. And then verse 23 is a sobering reminder to us. This is true of you today if you hold fast. If you continue in the faith firmly grounded and steadfast. Not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So this is an incredible tension in Scripture. To say it simply, your responsibility is not in the reconciliation. Notice who does the reconciliation. It's Christ. It says He reconciled you. Your responsibility, Christian, is to continue. Notice it doesn't mean, it doesn't say, keep yourself saved. It just says, continue in this salvation that you already have. And by God's grace, if each one of us continue on in the faith, holding fast to the gospel of Jesus Christ, not losing sight of it, but keeping it near and dear to us every day, if you do this, on that final day, you will be able to look back and say, I was saved the whole time. And the great confidence as well is that if you have this present reality of reconciliation with God, if your relationship with your God has been restored in Christ, then indeed God promises you will continue. You will continue in the faith, firmly grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So you are at the beginning of, or at least near the beginning of your walk with the Lord. My encouragement and exhortation to you, continue on. And don't lose sight of the gospel. Keep it close. Never let it grow stale or old or ordinary. Keep it fresh. Keep it vivid in your mind's eye. And if you do that, you will continue in the faith. And you will thrive. Church, this is what we celebrate. this wonderful restoration and reconciliation of our relationship with God. Imagine, what is the opposite of alienation? It's friendship, isn't it? Even more, family, where we can call God our Father. So not only was alienation taken away, it was fully and completely reversed. What's the opposite of being an enemy in mind? You're a friend of God. He is the lover of your soul. And what is the opposite of being an enemy in your evil deeds? A life lived in communion with God. Perpetual worship of obedience. This is what the Christian has. And this is what we celebrate tonight. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful truth. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder of what a treasure we have in Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for taking on the alienation, taking on the hostility, taking on the judgment for our evil deeds, and absorbing it, drinking that cup of wrath down to the last drop so that we wouldn't have to. Oh, we thank you. We worship you. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're going to get set up for our baptism. And just give us a couple minutes. Talk amongst yourselves if you want. We're going to get set up here. This is Stephanie Ho. She's going to give us and tell us her testimony this evening. Stephanie, tell them what God has done in your life. Amen. What a sweet love that our God has for us. Amen. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Because all that has separated us, all that could separate us from you, has been taken away. And you own us as yours. You have adopted us into your family, Father. You have called us your friends. You have called us your people. And you work in us, Lord. You live in us and with us to bring acts of worship every day. Oh, help us, Lord, to continue on in this. Help us to press on, to keep going in this faith, holding fast the wonderful gospel of Christ. And Lord, we plead with you, keep us, keep our hearts near, keep us sensitive and warm to the gospel. And we'll give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord, for this night. What a celebration. What a joy to be a part of. Lord, may we go from this place and go through this week with the gospel forefront of our minds. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.